The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And we're going to talk about fishing this morning, fishing on the Upper Potomac River this time of year, in particular with Michael Kashiwagi from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Division. He's Western 2 Regional Fisheries Manager, and we'll get to Michael in just a second. We've got Greg, Tom, and Jeff in Brooklyn up first. So, Greg, good morning. Sorry to cut you off there at the end of the last hour. What's up?
Oh, that's okay. Good morning. I love your show so much. I look forward to it every Saturday morning, and I listen to it always.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Well, my pleasure. And it's just so informative, and the people are so wonderfully nice. I mean, I still miss Charles. Remember Charles always?
I do. Yes, I do. Charles Cooper. Yeah. No. What's that?
I'm calling from Shinola in Somerset County, on the Eastern Shore.
Oh, I got it.
A little town called Shinola.
Yeah, I remember.
And,
sure. Yep.
Yes, sir. And down here, I got to tell you something. We were coming home one night. My friend Tom and I were coming home from Chicoutimi, Virginia. I play music in bars for a living. And we're driving down the back road coming home. It was late at night, and this little baby deer was walking down the road. And he had little spots on his back, and he's only as big as a small dog, or big as a big dog, I would say. But he's walking down the middle of the road and tried to get in the car. I said, down the road, little man, you got to be afraid of people like us. You got to be afraid. We're in the woods where you belong.
Yeah.
He tried to get in the car with me.
He's missing his mom. So.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You know, I read a lot about deer and books and stuff, and what they do is the mother has maybe two babies, and she puts them two different places. And
right.
Both of them,
yep. A couple hundred yards apart. Yep, you're exactly right.
Yeah. Well read.
Very.
I got to tell you, the fishing down here is still good. The crabs all left town now because of the cold weather.
Yeah, pretty much over for the crabs.
Yeah,
so.
They were. And
hey, Greg.
Yes, sir.
We got to move on. I appreciate it. Thanks. Call me a little earlier next time. We'll have more time to talk, okay?
You're in for the muzzle loader, right?
Yep, you're in. Thanks, buddy.
Guys,
all right.
Good luck to you both. Okay,
you too.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Tom, Hunt Valley, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
I'm good.
Hi, Robbie.
Good morning.
Well, usually I just call and tell you I want to get in on the muzzle loader.
All right.
Story, if you got a minute.
You're in. Go ahead.
I lived up in Delta about 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Way back in the woods. Had only a couple neighbors, and one of them was a guy that liked to always tell stories and pretty good at embellishing them.
Yeah.
He's always telling me about this Delta buck. And it's a huge buck. He's going to kill it one time.
Right.
So after about 7 years, the guy passed away. Never saw his buck to talk about. He told me he lived back by my property. So I'm coming home one day, and it's middle of summer. And I think, wow, so much Tony got loose. A huge animal coming down the road. Well, it was this buck.
Oh, man.
And then 2 years later, it was in the paper. I can't remember how big the rack was. It was huge, but some boy shot it.
But wow.
Where all he thought was, in his mind, actually, there was the Delta buck.
The Delta buck. How about that?
That's
amazing.
Cool.
Good story.
Yep. Guys, have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
have a
Tom.
Good one.
You too. Bye-bye. There he goes, Tom. And then we've got Jeff in Brooklyn, and Mike was our guest. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just called to get in on the muzzleloader contest.
And all right.
They put me on the air. So
you're in it. And you're on.
No, we listen to the show every week. And we enjoy it.
We appreciate it.
Wonderful.
Man. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. We have to you know, honor our guest here. So if you're calling in to get in the muzzleloader contest, call away. Chris will put you in the muzzleloader contest. You won't have to go on the air because we're going to be interviewing Michael this morning, okay? Is that a deal?
Did you get that, Chris?
He's good, okay. Michael, good morning. Sorry for the delay. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. We did give you a title there earlier, and you're up there in God's country, up in Washington County, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we do a lot of work out that way. Cold this morning, for sure.
Yeah. A little cold. Are you in your office in Thurmont today, or are you at home?
I'm at home.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, good.
Hopefully got a fire going or something.
Yeah, I hope you're... Hope your oil bill's been paid.
The radiator's cranked up, so it's feeling uncomfortable.
Yep, exactly. You know, my house is for sale in Baltimore County, and I've had oil heat and radiators. I wouldn't have any other heat. I mean, Robin, your heat's fine. But
no, it's not. My heat's cold.
Yeah, I know.
Just be honest.
Your heat pump doesn't work very well, but and it's a good one and a new one. But I'll tell you, I love those radiators. So, all good. What do you want to talk about first there, Michael? You want to talk about smallmouth bass? You want to talk about the walleyes? You want to talk about the big dog up there, the muskies?
Maybe we'll start with the smallmouth.
Okay.
We're currently in the process of finishing up our fall adult surveys.
Okay.
On the Upper Potomac River.
Got it.
And for that, we go out annually each fall and sample 12 stations from Edwards Ferry all the way upstream to Pawpaw, West Virginia.
Right.
And with that, we're primarily looking for adult numbers. We want to see kind of the catch rates for adults in the general size distribution of the smallmouth population. And this year, we've been seeing really good numbers.
Good. Good. Now, what's an adult size smallmouth bass? I mean, can you give us like an inch size or?
Yeah, we're looking at, for our purposes, we're using 11 inches.
Okay.
But for legal purposes, for actual harvestable size, it'd be 12 inches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One of the main things we look at is the number of adult fish per hour that we catch using our boat electrofishing
system. Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. And for this year, we've been averaging 38 fish per hour, which is well above the 24 fish per hour we've seen on average over the past 20 years.
Yeah, well, that sounds like good news for the river.
Yeah, that's very good news. Adult numbers are definitely up. We've even been seeing a handful of 19 and 20-inch smallmouth.
I'll tell you, there's nothing like hooking an 18, 19, 20-inch smallmouth in the Potomac River. And, you know, the current adds to the value of the fight and the jump. It's just great. No question.
Yeah, we've seen some really nice fish. All of them are in really good condition, which is another good thing to take account of.
You haven't had a lot of those floods like we were inundated with for a few years in a row back 10 years ago or something like that. So it sounds like the population has been given a chance without all that inflow of muddy, nasty water, right?
Right. Well, the one issue with the flows is actually in the spring.
Right.
The past 2 years we've had low year classes, primarily due to high flow events in May.
Okay.
So the bass are on the nest or have just spawned, and we'll have some type of big rain event in western Maryland that causes the river to come up and get turbid.
And then the eggs wash away.
Exactly. Either that or it could happen just after spawn, and we have emerging fry coming out of those nests.
Mm-hmm.
And with the high turbidity, they can't see. Conditions are... And with the higher flows, they get washed downstream.
Right.
So in those two, in 2016 and 2017, unfortunately, in May, we had events like that. And as a result, we've had limited recruitment of juveniles.
Right.
In the summer, we go out and we seine sections of the river, looking again for juvenile fish. So these are 2 to 3 inch smallmouth bass that were spawned out that year.
Right.
And unfortunately for 2017, those numbers were very low.
Hmm. So you had a good adult population in the fall survey, but a very low recruitment in the spring. It's kind of like the people who are very familiar with the striped bass survey, you know. But you do the same type of survey on a lot of the different populations across the state. And the smallmouth bass, because of their importance in the river, the recreational opportunities, and the economic importance and everything else, you just want a healthy population of smallmouth. and you got the adults, but now the youngsters are kind of off, is what you're telling me, right?
Exactly. So we're hoping for, at least for next year, for 2018, that we have a mild spring weather-wise.
Sure.
And that will contribute to a strong year class.
Yes, of course.
Pretty much, on average, every 5 years, you can have a strong year class.
Mm-hmm.
You'll maintain a healthy population.
You got a sustainability thing there. That's good.
Exactly. So 2015, we had an average year class, which will help.
Right.
2016 and 2017 were low, and we're hoping moving forward that we get a couple of strong ones the next few years.
That'd be great. Now, you talk about that type of data that you guys collect with the seining in the spring and summer and the electrofishing in the fall. You also monitor the fishing tournaments as well.
Yes. One of the stipulations now with tournaments is for the organizers to report their results. And that's been incredibly useful information. It helps a lot in terms of the overall management of the smallmouth bass population. It helps us kind of gauge how anglers are doing on the river.
Yep.
And for 2017, there are 11 tournaments in the Upper Potomac, and the average tournament catch rate was 0.16 fish per hour. So that's looking at every 4 hours, you catch one adult-sized fish.
That's a lot of work for one fish.
Yeah, but that's on average with the previous 15 years' worth of data.
Right.
Where it's 0.15 fish per hour. So
okay.
Things are looking fine in that regard in terms of catchability of these adult fish.
Got it. That's pretty good, actually.
Good.
Yeah, that is. The legend of the smallmouth bass up in that area in Washington County used to be a fellow by the name of Butch Ward, who's passed mm-hmm. away. I don't know if you've ever heard that name up there before or not. But,
oh, I have, yes.
Yeah, he lived in Clear Spring or just about in Clear Spring. And Butch said, he told me one time, he said, you know, you guys want to go deer hunting. He said, I'm not about any of that hunting stuff. He said, on Thanksgiving or first day of deer season, there's nobody on the river. And that's when I go out and catch my biggest fish in this time of year, in late November. So,
conditions are actually really good right now. The river's up with the recent rains that we've had.
Sure.
And the big fish are out there. We've been having good luck with the surveys.
Sure, and they were using the Mad Toms, the catfish, and artificial mm-hmm. lures that imitated the small catfish that live in the river.
Mm-hmm. So, those would be good.
Yeah, do you still see a population of those Mad Toms up there?
We do, particularly it's called the Margin Mad Tom, and we find them fairly frequently in the same surveys.
The Margin Mad Tom?
Yeah, so they're out there.
What's a margin Mad Tom as opposed to other brands?
It just has a dark margin all around its caudal fin.
Okay.
That's how that species is identified.
I see. And the caudal fin is the tail fin.
Tail fin, correct.
Okay, got it. So it's a margin Mad Tom, and that's one of the keys up there. And I'm sure the smallmouth love eating them because that's what that used to be the big thing that you imitated up there. And I don't know, probably still is for the locals anyway.
I mean, people are having good luck with those. Any type of crayfish,
yep.
Tublers, all those do really, really well.
Exactly. Yes, sir. And I love fishing for smallmouth on the surface too. I like a number 9 Rapala. I don't go with a number 11. A lot of people like that 11 because they can cast it a little further. But I like to get in those little nooks and crannies with that number 9 on the surface and just pop it. And there's nothing like a smallmouth coming out of the water and smashing that lure, that's for sure. So.
Oh, that's great. And one thing we do, if anglers are interested, there is a DNR volunteer angler survey that they can participate in.
Is that on the is that on the fisheries website, on the DNR website?
Yes, it is. They can go to that and provide information on their fishing trips on the river or any other water body in the state. And all that information helps managers get an idea, get feedback from the angling community.
Yeah, sure.
And all that information helps with the management of these game fish species.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Well, Michael, we're going to take our first break for the hour here, and when we come back, we'll start on talking about walleyes, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Maryland's Eastern Shore. It's first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, and they're open now. And for you deer hunters out there, it's the rut. So if you need some kind of cover scent or attractant scent or ester scent or anything that can spray or squirt or put on a pad and drag through the woods, whatever, to attract a deer, they've got anything and everything you need for cover scents and deer attractants, that's for sure. And, of course, they've got the regular deer corn. They've got the apple cracker. They've got the Big and J, if you like to put those supplements out, too. Now, what do they carry for the end result? Well, they carry Matthews Solo Cam compound bows, and then they carry Barnett, 10-point Mission, and Carbon Express, and Excalibur, and I think even Parker crossbows, and the all-new Raven. Let's not forget the Raven crossbow. That is the newest, hottest lick from the crossbow world. All kinds of camo firearms on the rack for waterfowl from Remington and Chiapa, and they can order any firearm you like. You know, if you like a particular brand and you want to order a particular a rifle or shotgun, they can take care of it. Muzzleloaders and accessories from CVA, Thompson Center. If you love the CVA like I do, they got a whole wall of accessories there for sure. The Yeti coolers and the banded and Under Armour camo clothing, a large selection of waterfowl calls. It's being Waterfowl Weekend in Easton. Camo, decoys, steel shot, and gear for waterfowl, anything and everything. Boots, hips, and waders for sure. So why not stop by and see them at Chesapeake Outdoors? Route 50 East, exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, right, Robin? Dominion Road, mm-hmm. Right there on Ken Island, not far across the bridge. 410-604-2500 at Chesapeake Outdoors. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? The Spurry family has been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters, and they own the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant in St. Michael's. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge to Baltimore. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18, headed west, is now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh pick crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals. Call 443-657-7187. Good Times and good crabs and seafood. It's Good Times Crab House. Call 443-657-7187. Hey, mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name, Alan Ellis, or WCBM, and tell them you heard their ad right here on this show, and Good Times Crab House on Liberty Road will give you $5 off your dozen crabs.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I went fishing one day, and I put my hook out in the water, and something got a hold to it, and it tried to get loose. When I pulled it up, it was a big fish on the hook. He was a twisting and a turning, trying to get loose. But the hook had him down, and he couldn't get loose. And I said, I wish the Lord would hook me one day like this hook fish. He hooked his feeling in me, and one Friday evening, he came into my soul, and he hooked me with his spirit. And ever since that day, a song come into my mind.
All right, maybe we'll continue that in the next break. We had enough of Hank there for a little bit. We're kind of cutting in on our time with Michael. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. Good. Let's talk about John Wayne's favorite fish that he mentioned in a lot of his movies.
Walleye?
Walleye, tell you, Pilgrim. Yeah, that one.
All our numbers in the Potomac are looking really, really good as well. They can be caught anywhere from pretty much pawpaw, actually all the way down to the Washington, D.C. line.
Yeah, well, that's...
But the highest concentrations are definitely in Washington County.
Sure. Dam 4,
yeah.
Yeah, I fished that with John Mollican every now and then. That's a great fishery right there.
Yeah, the numbers, again, there look really good, primarily due to a strong 2015 and 2016 year class.
Yeah.
So those fish are kind of in the 18 to 20-inch size range, which is exactly where most people are looking to target.
Good eating size fish right there.
Exactly. Is there
a slot limit on them? Is there a slot limit on them, Michael?
Yes, there is. There's a year-round minimum of 15 inches.
Right.
And then in the winter, from January 1st to April 15th, there's a 20-inch maximum.
Okay.
And that's set up to protect those larger...
The larger female spawners, yeah, sure.
Right, during the spawning season.
Got it.
One of the interesting things about the walleye population is that we help maintain it through supplemental stocking.
Right.
So every spring we'll go out and collect about 2 dozen large adult males and females, which will be transported to a state hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
They're spawned.
Which hatchery do you use?
We use Manning Hatchery.
Manning, okay.
Southern Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Been there, yep.
Then those adult fish will go back to the river, and we let those fry grow out a little bit until they're about 1 inch in size. And then those juveniles are stocked back into the Potomac River,
mm-hmm.
mainly between Harper's Ferry and Hancock.
Right.
We'll hit multiple boat ramps and access points and release fish at each of those.
Now, are these fish otolith tagged?
Yes, they're tagged with a chemical
right.
tag, OTC, that marks their otolith.
Right.
Which is kind of a strong, hard, bony structure in their head.
Right.
And over the past 3 years, we've stocked out between 60 and 80,000 one-inch juveniles each spring.
Mm-hmm.
And in our fall surveys, we'll collect those fish. At that point, they're usually 9 to 10 inches
mm-hmm.
in size.
Mm-hmm.
So they grow very quickly during that first year.
Sure.
And we'll collect a sample of those, and we'll look at those otoliths.
Right.
And we're trying to see... What contribution does the stocking contribute to the overall juvenile population?
Great. And let me ask you, have you noted any significant success? I mean, are you recovering some of these fish that when you do those surveys and you capture those fish? I mean, are they all stocked? I mean, is there natural stock mixed in? Tell me about that.
It's roughly 50%. We've been doing it.
That's great.
Yeah, so we've been doing it the past 3 years, and the average is just around 50%. So 50% of those juvenile fish are coming from this supplemental stocking program. The other half are coming through natural reproduction. So we have both. And the supplemental stocking helps, too, in case, say, what we've experienced recently in the spring in the river,
mm-hmm.
the walleye may spawn and there may be a high flow event, and that year class could be wiped out.
Sure.
But the supplemental stocking will then kind of
replace that,
backfill,
yeah.
safeguard that population.
Got it. That's pretty cool, actually. Actually, that's pretty cool. So
yeah, so it's working very, very well. We've collected some age one juvenile fish. This year, we haven't had an opportunity yet to read the otoliths.
Right.
But we're expecting to see similar numbers based off of the past data.
Cool.
But, that'll be coming later this winter.
Sure.
But the plants continue to do that supplemental stocking. So we'll be out next spring, mainly March and April.
Are these survey results available online? I mean, can somebody go in there and say, oh, man, their survey on the walleyes is up or down or whatever? I mean, is that published online?
Yes. All this information is, all the 2016 information is available on the DNR website.
Okay.
You have to go to the Freshwater Fisheries homepage.
Right.
And within there, there's a map of the state that has all the different regions highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on the Western Tier region, which is Frederick and Washington counties, there'll be a separate homepage.
Right.
And at the bottom of that page, there's summary files for all of, or summary information for smallmouth bass population, walleye, catfish,
mm-hmm.
and muskie.
All right.
So
well,
you'll see all the latest information that we have available.
All right. Well, before we get to the next break, let's talk about muskies for now. That's one of the largest freshwater fish we have here in Maryland, yes?
Yes. I think most people would be surprised to hear that we actually have a really good muskie population in the Upper Potomac River, considering they're usually found more in the Midwest and...
oh, sure. Yeah.
Minnesota and Michigan area is more known for muskies.
Right.
But the Upper Potomac River, again, in that Washington County area, supports a really great muskie fishery.
Now, these are tiger muskies, correct?
No, these are true muskies.
True muskies. These are not tiger. Tiger muskie is a cross between a muskellunge and a northern pike?
Northern pike, correct. These are actually true muskies.
Okay. So they have potential for extremely large growth.
Yes, actually, the new state record was just caught this past May by an angler in Hagerstown. She caught it out in the Clear Spring area.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish measured 49 inches and weighed 32 and a half pounds.
32 and a half pounds. Wow, that's amazing.
It was a new state record and actually got a lot of people interested in muskie fishing.
Sure.
In that area.
A big fish tends to do that, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, we've actually been doing a lot of work recently on the muskie population.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily concentrated from Hancock down to Harpers Ferry. And based off of some catch and release information, we estimate the population to be about 400 to 700 adult fish, which is a good number for that section of river.
400 to 700 adults.
Yes.
And a lot of folks target these fish, but a lot of anglers, you're not going to eat them, so they basically like to catch them and release them for sure.
Right. There's a small group of dedicated muskie fishermen, for sure, on that section of the river.
Right.
And almost all of them practice catch and release.
Yeah. There's a technique to it. I mean, you got to use like a bag net, almost like a minnow seine used to be, you know, and guide them into the net and kind of, you know, just rest them in the water, take them off the hook in the water and just let them go free rather than, you know, drag them on the boat. I mean, you certainly take a picture if you want, but, you know, a brief picture, just like the fishery and the striped bass fishery, the catch and release striped bass fishery on the spawning grounds up on the Susquehanna Flats. You don't want to wear them out. You just want to take a quick picture if you can, and back in the river they go. That's usually the best method, right?
Exactly. I mean, we recommend that folks have a large landing net, pliers,
mm-hmm.
and hook cutters if available.
Sure.
They get hooked the fish, they can cut it off and release it as quickly as possible.
Right.
Particularly in the summer months when these fish are already stressed, They prefer cool and cold water conditions.
Right.
So when the river gets above 80 degrees, they're really stressed. And
there's
additional impacts on them.
Right.
Can cause more post-hooking mortality.
Sure, sure.
We ask folks to handle them and release them as quick as possible.
Sure. And you know, you want to try and use an artificial lure as best you can. And they'll bite just as quickly on a great big spinner bait or a jerk bait or something like that as they will on live bait. You know, in the live bait, they'll tend to swallow and kill the fish.
Right, exactly. One interesting thing that we started this past year was actually a radio tagging study.
Okay.
So in February, we went out, collected 14 adults, surgically implanted them with radio transmitters.
Right.
And were able to follow them for about 7 or 8 months during the course of the summer to see where those fish moved and what kind of their habitat selection was,
right,
movement patterns were during that time period. And we've got a lot of great information. It kind of reiterated the importance of these cool water habitats,
right,
in the summer months. Those fish will definitely key in and seek shelter in those locations. And probably the fishery wouldn't exist in the Upper Potomac River if those cool water refuges didn't exist.
Got it. Cool.
Temperatures are just too high for them, and they need those
conditions. They need to chill out as best they can.
Exactly.
Yep.
During those July and August, those really, really hot days.
Those are basically what you're saying are spring-fed areas where these fish seek out the cooler refuge is what you call it, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Got
it. We've gotten a lot of great data from this tagging study. And for next year, we actually received a grant from Muskie Inc. It's a nonprofit muskie angler advocacy group, to purchase additional radio tags.
Nice.
So we'll be doing another tagging study in the Dam 4 area this year to see movement patterns again, identify these cool water areas, spawning locations, and just get an idea of the movement patterns of the fish during the course of the year.
Great. Hang on, Michael. We've got to take another break. Okay?
Sure.
All right, folks, I got to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, and this being waterfowl weekend, we probably ought to talk about some of the great waterfowl guns available from Browning. Look, there's the BPS pump-action shotgun. Comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models. 12- and 20-gauge rifled barreled deer models are available. The thing about the BPS is it ejects the shell out the bottom, not out the side. So you're not smacking your blind mate or your goose pit guy in the goose pit next to you with the shells when they eject. It features bottom ejection. It's got a Dura-Touch armor coating and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. And the BPS comes with 3 Invector Plus choke tubes, so you can change your pattern to match your whether you're duck or goose or dove hunting with the BPS pump. Now there's the Maxis shotgun as well. It's an otter loader shotgun. It's called Waterfowl Hunting Perfection. The Maxis. Pick this gun up, put it to your shoulder, check it out, swing it, see the sighting plane. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. It has a power drive gas system that reduces recoil, and that's the Maxis. There's the Gold Light 10 gauge. If you can handle a 10-gauge, maybe you want to do some snow goose hunting or something like that where you need to take a little bit longer shot, the gas-operated autoloader with a 3.5-inch chamber, composite with Dura-Touch armor coating and Mossy Oak camo. Again, 3 standard Invector choke tubes come with the Gold Light 10-gauge. And then my favorite dream shotgun is the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. The A5. That's right. It's the A5. 100,000 round guarantee or a 5-year guarantee, whichever comes first, on the A5. See them all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Been around for 60 years. That's right. Go see them. You'll be glad you did. 410-242-6108.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Art Freeze for 2 nights in a row. Had it last night, and we've got it again tonight. Low 40s this afternoon. 27 degrees tonight. Could bust some record low temperatures tonight And then Sunday, mostly cloudy and continued chilly with high temperatures below average, low 50s for high temperatures, mid-30s Sunday night. It's going to stay dry here with this cold air in place with low humidity into early next week. I'm meteorologist Scott Lariamore from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. I don't go through the fast food drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 heading to the deer stand or the duck blind. I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. And from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think big donut or call 410-228-9111. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me and Robin there.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Dragging the line. All right. We're talking with Michael Kashiwagi. Did I say that right, Michael? Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did I say your name right, Kashiwagi?
Yes, you did.
Okay, very good. We were kind of finishing up here on the muskie fishery up there. You talked about the tagging program, the radio program that you have now, and that you've just gotten a grant from Muskies, Inc., which is an advocacy group for muskellunge. And they're supplying you with some new radio equipment for 2018. Is that kind of where we left off?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're going to be doing the same radio tagging study in the Dam 4 area.
Right.
One thing we do ask is if there are anglers out there, if you are targeting muskie, there's a volunteer muskie angler survey.
Okay.
And that's great information that we use to help manage the fishery as well. In addition, we've been doing a plastic dart tag study with muskie. So muskie that we collect electrofishing will actually mark. There's a small plastic yellow tag.
Yeah, like a spaghetti tag on the dorsal fin, behind the dorsal fin.
Exactly. So on the back of the fish, there's this yellow tag that'll be sticking out. If you should catch a muskie that has one of those tags,
yep. We
do ask that the angler just record the number, the tag number. It'll be a four-digit number that's on the tag and the phone number on the tag as well.
And call it in.
Please call it in. That's great information that helps us tremendously in terms of monitoring to see how much these individual fish grow, where they move, and just general information on the angling effort that's going on out there.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, Michael, listen, you've covered the waterfront here on the smallmouth, the walleye, and the muskellunge, and the management of those species in the upper Potomac, and we greatly appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Have a good weekend. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. There goes Michael. All right. How about that for good information, folks? If you're fishing up there in the Potomac River, Michael's got it all laid out for us there on the three main target species up there, the smallmouth, the walleye, and the muskie. And we'll have him back another day to talk about the catfish and other stuff up there, too. But right now we're taking your phone calls at 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. If you'd like to get in the muzzleloader contest, now's the time. We got about 10 minutes left. We do have to take another break here at the end of the show, so get in here and get on the muzzleloader contest. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Some of the other callers we let in without going on the air. If you really feel you want to get back to us, and you know you're already in the contest, want to go on the air, we'd be more than glad to take that call again. So, want to thank Michael Kashiwagi for calling in and helping us understand more about the upper Potomac fishery. So, but it's Youth Day. If we got any youngsters out there that are getting ready to go out into the woods and you want to call, please feel free to do so. But I think we're already into legal shooting time right now, aren't we? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So I suspect that some deer have already hit the dirt.
If any of those deer hit the dirt with these youths, I want to get some pictures for
I can't hear you. You got to turn your mic on. Hold on. Yep. Hold on.
Just no, he's busy.
There
Sorry.
You go. You got it.
I got
okay.
it.
I can hear you now. Yeah.
If we kids get some nice deer for the youth day, or mm-hmm. even just since it's the first deer or whatever, novice
yep, first
youth,
deer, yep.
we would love to get them in bucks, bears, and stags. And if they send me their picture, I can
we'll put it on. Yep.
We'll put it on the Facebook page.
We need parental permission to
yes.
do that. You know, if kids under 18, you know, we'd love to have that parental permission. And we've done that a few times. We got some
great ones on there
yeah,
already.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we
that
have.
That one girl this last week was really a nice deer.
Oh, she was a nice deer.
But yeah, I would love to have more kids.
We were worried about that deer. We discussed this deer. This deer comes in to Robin on a private message on Facebook, and this girl's got her and her dad have the orange vest on. She's got a shotgun, and she's killed this deer on November 4th. And I said, "Wait a minute, Robin." I said, "I know a little bit about this. Youth Day's not till the 11th. Is this in another state?" And she said, "No, it's Maryland." And so it took the longest time to get the father to tell us where she got the deer, which was on Tucson Wildlife Research Center, which is Fort Meade.
Right, and there's one little area that had a deer lottery.
One little tiny area. Yeah.
That's why we work so well together. You've got my naivety.
Naivete. Yeah, naivete.
And your knowledge and you're also your... Yeah. your what's that word I'm looking for?
Je ne sais quoi?
No, yuck.
Well, you said naivete. I was going with the French thing.
No. That,
expertise.
No. It's expertise, but it's also...
50 years of experience.
What's that word I'm looking for where you're guarded?
I don't know, but we got... I'm suspicious. Yeah.
Suspicious.
Yeah, well,
you're suspicious.
I mean, we did the Poaching Restitution Act here a couple of years ago. I've dealt with poachers my whole life. I hear about it every day. I hear about these guys that have killed $4 already with their bow.
I know.
And that makes me sick. I'm just saying to you guys in northern Baltimore and Harford County, we're looking at you. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
But real quick, It's not just your suspicious part. Somebody can just make a mistake and do something wrong. And we don't want to get them in trouble if they're just making a mistake.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we check out everybody we put on there.
Got it.
Everything's going to be cool. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Got to go. John, Baltimore City. Good morning, John. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning.
What's up?
My question is about eating squirrels, rabbits. The, you know, ground game.
Yeah, sure.
And it has to do with the temperature. I know there's you can't eat them all year long.
Right.
But once there's a hard freeze, and how long does that freeze have to be, and how long after the freeze, you know, you go like up to the 50s, how long can you eat the animals after that? What is the bacteria now?
Well, you know what? As long as those animals are cooked thoroughly, I wouldn't worry about temperature or anything else.
Is that an old wives' tale?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think it had to do with ticks and fleas.
Okay.
Okay, and you know, you don't want those in your house, but you know, guys are shooting squirrels the first Saturday in September and eating them all the way through the end of February when the season goes out. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Neat. I can remember as a small kid biting on the buckshot.
Oh man, yeah,
I hated that.
I did that a few times. Yep, it sets your teeth on edge, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. It's like these little pearls in the muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
When I just started the radiology department, I was looking at X-rays because over there everybody eats, you know,
right.
Game. And I couldn't figure out what the little metal balls were going through the colon. And it was all the buckshot they were getting out of the animals, out of the geese. And, yeah.
Crazy.
Robin, nice hearing you.
Nice to hear. Thank you very much, John.
John from Baltimore, old friend of Alan.
Yeah, you're right.
We had breakfast together about, what, 5 years
ago? No, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
You were getting jerky for the troops.
Exactly. You're right.
So. All right. Be safe. Enjoy. And
thanks,
have a
John.
Good day.
See you, buddy.
You too.
Thanks.
Thanks for your knowledge. You're resourceful is the word I use.
There you go.
I like it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. Paul in Ferndale. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Alan and Robin. How are you today?
Great.
Well.
Morning.
Very good. Here's my question. My brother and I have been in a little dilemma.
Okay.
The junior hunt.
Yep.
Are only the juniors allowed in the woods to hunt? He said that I could be out there with a bow, but the juniors could be out there with their rifles.
Juniors can be out. Juniors have to be accompanied by an unarmed adult. You can be out. You can be out there with your bow, okay? But you can't be mentoring a young person.
Right. I understand that. Okay. I just didn't think that. I thought it was only for the juniors.
No, you can. No, I read that early in the first hour. You're allowed to be out there and bow hunt, but not. You know, you can't make the bow hunt part of the deal with the kids. So
you have to pay
attention
to the kids.
Yeah. In other words, if you got your daughter out there with a shotgun, you're not to be sitting in the stand with your bow. You have to be unarmed. But if she finishes up, goes back home, you're certainly welcome to go out there in the afternoon and sit in the same stand as long as you're not in that process of being with a youngster.
Okay, I got it.
Okay?
Sorry I missed it earlier.
That's all right.
Couldn't get in.
I get it. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, buddy. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Here we go. Okay, Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. What's up?
No, I just got my first cup of coffee, and I'm turning radio on, and I'm listening to your radio station. I enjoy it each week.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I was wondering, I know I asked you this before, you and Robin's getting married.
Yep.
And me and my old Vince, he thinks you're already married. And I said, no, they're getting married.
We just act like we're married.
We got this argument going on, you know, not argument, but.
No, we're getting married on the 16th of December up at Deep Creek Lake.
What, the whole, you going to invite your whole,
No. No.
Oh, man. That'd be a party, wouldn't it?
You better believe it. That would be a party.
Hey, we're only having a couple people up there with us.
It's a little quiet group of family, mostly, and close friends.
Hey, how many viewers you think you got? Or how many listeners?
Last I checked was like 20,000 for the total.
Oh, Lordy,
for the total show. Yeah, that would be a party.
That would be an expensive party.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
we'd have to charge a cover charge.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we tell everybody to meet the parking lot at Arundel Mills, you know, and we'll collect $10 from everybody, and that'd be great.
It'd be a donation to charity, though.
Might as well put 20 down, you know?
All right. Well, that sounds good, Cynthia. All right.
So it'd be a big wedding?
No, small.
No, just very small.
20, 25 people, that's it.
Aww. Just in a restaurant, nice and quiet.
Nice, quiet, in front of the fireplace, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, so it's the 21st of December?
16th.
You can show up on the 21st. We're going to be there on the 16th.
He's so bad.
All right.
Well, I just called to get on that, hopefully, to win that gun.
Well, good luck.
Good luck.
I know. All right, well, you have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, dear.
You too.
God bless y'all.
Thank you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye. Last caller for the day before the break is going to be Glenn in Chestertown. Good morning, Glenn. How are you? Hello,
hey,
Glenn.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Anyway, I'm just calling to say hi and get into that contest.
You're in it.
And I would, if possible, just would like you and Rob and everybody out there to maybe put me in their prayers. I'm kind of having a little dilemma for getting my driver's license renewed, but if I don't, I won't be hunting after week from Monday.
Well, I hope you can find a good friend that can take you if it doesn't happen. So,
but we wish you a lot of luck with it.
A lot of luck, Glenn. We'll just ask all of our listeners to pray here. Just take a few minutes and say a prayer for Glenn. So, during this call,
thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Uh huh.
Take care. Bye, Glenn.
Bye, bye, Glenn. There he goes. All right, we're going to take our final break. I got to tell you one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors. If you need it, they got it. How do you like that for any kind of deer waterfowl hunting? It's pretty simple. Whatever you need, they got, and you just show up at the store. They're located just off of Route 50, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island. Firearms, bows and crossbows, every accessory in the world for deer.
I love walking through because it's always something
I
new.
I mean, you know, the rut's here, so any scent, cover scent, all that stuff, boots, hips, and waders, camo clothing by Bandit and Under Armour, waterfowl calls, decoy steel shot, camo, you name it, they've got it for waterfowl. Same thing for deer. Ammo. Arrows, custom cut arrows. I mean, I can't say
Yeti enough. Cups.
How many do you have now?
Not the one I want.
And they went on one. I know which one you want. All right. You know, there's Christmas and a wedding coming up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So put a cork in it, like you tell me. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500. See you there. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. I talked about Browning. Well, don't forget, they have all the fishing stuff, too, for the fall fishermen. You might not be out there today. You might do a little ice fishing, maybe. I'm not sure they have that, but if you need it, they've got it. And for hunting season, great gunsmith. You need a scope mounted. There's a thing. I'm always an advocate for, if you're deer hunting, get to buy the best optics you can buy. Buy the best optics you can buy. Get a Leupold scope if you can afford it. If not, get a... you know, the best one you can get maybe would be a Nikon or something like that. But you need to be able to see that game. And Clyde's has a full selection. They'll mount it. They'll bore sight it. I've never had a bore sighted scope that didn't work on paper when I got to the range. So it looks like to me we've missed a couple of spots, haven't we? Well, we'll make them up next week. We'll make them pay for them this week, and then we'll run them next week. What do you think? All right. Thanks to all our sponsors, WW Tire and Auto Service, Good Times Crab House. Get $5 off a dozen when you mention my name. Bay Linex and Catonsville.